We're doing the Ramban and Parshas Kisisa, special class, the Ramban and the Chet HaEgel. The Ramban quotes Rashi initially, what's called the 32nd chapter, the first Pasuk, Asher Yechuli V'Faneinu, Elohu Tarbeu Lahem, Ivu Lahem. You guys have it? Yes?
Where is it?
Page Tafkuf Hey, I think, in your editions. Asher Yechuli V'Faneinu, the beginning of the 32nd chapter. They desired many gods. For Moshe, that man who took us out of Mitzrayim and used to guide us what path to take, we don't know what happened to him. So now we need all these different gods to lead the way. Lashon Rashi, till here's Rashi. And his wording doesn't work exactly, says the Ramban. Okay, so the Ramban says, you know, it seems from the verse that they wanted one guide. What does it mean they wanted many guides? Asilanu Elokim, Rashi learns, is multiple, but the Ramban says from the continuation of the story, it doesn't exactly work. But this verse, da is a key to understand the concept of what happened with the golden calf, and what were the thoughts of those who made it. It's obvious that the Jewish people did not think Moshe was God. They didn't think he had the power to make the signs and the miracles. So why would they say, yeah, Moshe's not here, we need a God? They didn't think Moshe was God. So now that Moshe's gone, they don't need a God. And furthermore, they explicitly said, we need Elohim that will go before us. They didn't say we need a God to give us life in this world or the world to come. But what they wanted was, they wanted a substitute Moshe. They said, Moshe who led the way, he showed us the way from Egypt till here. Shayu ha-masayim al-pi Hashem biyad Moshe, because God, they knew God existed, God who led the travelings through Moshe, hine avad mimenu. So Moshe has been lost. Na'ase lanu Moshe acher. So we need a different Moshe. We need a substitute Moshe. Sheyura aderech lefaneinu al pi Hashem biyado. That will show us the way in accordance to how Hashem wants it, the way Hashem showed us through Moshe. V'zeh tam eskiram Moshe ha'ish. That's why they mentioned, because Moshe the man, asher he'elamu, that took us out of Mitzrayim. Lo ha'el asher he'elam. They didn't say we need a substitute God because the God who took us out of Mitzrayim is gone. They said Moshe is gone. So we need a substitute leader, a substitute guide, a substitute intermediary. They said we need a man of God. We need a person who can tell us where God wants us to go. We need something to tell us where God wants us to go, if not Moshe. So far so good. Obviously not. You could also understand that Aaron's reply to Moshe also teaches this. Moshe asked him, what did this nation do to you that you brought such a great sin upon them? And Aaron's answer was, they asked me, make us Elohim, not a God. Elohim, the point here is Moshe Isha Elohim. Make us a replacement for Moshe. Meaning, it wasn't that he was blaming them at this point, but Elohim, as the Rambam just explained, was not the way Rashi explained gods. What they wanted Elohim was a guide, not a god. Yeah?
Plural doesn't make sense otherwise, because
wait.
They only make one.
Slowly, lot. Let's wait and see. V'amar lahem l'mi zahav, itparaku v'yitnu li v'ashlicheyu v'esh. Aaron says, I said to them, who has gold? Remove it and give it to me. And I threw it in the fire. V'ine. Aaron mitnatzel v'lemoshe. Aaron's apologizing to Moshe. V'amar lo, al yichar af adoni. He says, my master, don't be upset. What's he telling him? Don't be upset. And then he seems to say he did even worse than Moshe thought. How does that work? He's saying, don't get upset. They wanted an idol, so I made them an idol. Of course you should get upset, if that's what Aaron was answering him. What's worse than that? So they wanted an idol. Why'd you make him an idol? What's Aaron's answer? Aaron's saying, don't get upset, and then he seems to tell him exactly why he should get upset. But the idea is the way we explain. They didn't want the golden calf to be God, to take away life, to give life. They didn't want the Egel as something that they would accept as a God. What they did want was a guide instead of Moshe who would show the way. And that's what Aaron was apologizing. Aaron said, well, initially the way it all started was they wanted a guide, something that would lead them through the desert instead of you, my master. Because they didn't know what's happening with you and if you're returning or not. 2 million people, men, women, children, and you're gone, and we don't know if you're coming back. So they said, who's going to guide us at this point? How do we know where God wants us to go? So long as you're not here, they said, we need something else. And the understanding was that if you will return, so then of course we'll discard whatever it is and go back after you. And that's exactly what happened. You see that once they saw Moshe, they left the Egel. You see that they turned their backs on the Egel. They let Moshe burn it. And to scatter its ashes over the water. You don't see anyone stood up to Moshe and said, don't touch my God. You see that's what happened. And you see Moshe didn't rebuke the people. He didn't say anything. But what happens? He enters the camp. He sees the calf. He sees partying. Moshe walks in. They all ran away. And if they really believed that the calf was God, people don't leave behind their God to be burned. They stand up and fight for their God. Can someone get away with burning someone else's God and he won't stone him? They outnumbered Moshe 3,000 to 1. But no one stood up to Moshe. And Aaron is the one that produced this figurine. They didn't tell Aaron what to make. They didn't tell him to make an ox or a sheep or a goat or anything else. So what our sages said, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says they desired many gods. They had a lot of desires. They didn't know what was the way to go. This is where the Ramban enters Kabbalah. The Ramban says, okay, so what was Aaron thinking? Aaron figures they're out in the desert, an area of desolation. And what the Ramban is about to say should be familiar to you from our learning Ramban and Drushat Hashem Torah, the Drush of Torah Hashem Tmima. The Ramban explains the same point. He says that desolation in the world always comes from the north. North in Hebrew is Tzafon. Tzafon is Tzafun. Hidden, Tzafon is Tzifoni, the destruction, the snake. Kedichtiv mitzafon tipatach hara al kol yoshvei haaretz. The prophet Jeremiah says destruction comes from the north. She'en hakavana b'melech bavel bilvad. Although the simple reading of the prophet Jeremiah is that the Babylonian Empire will enter through the north and destroy Israel. That's a simple reading, but that's not the deeper reading. The deeper reading is, you see that it's much more than that. Kasher rebe nigle min hakatub. You just look at the verses. And you see that it's more than that. Aval kimina smol tavo midat hadin la'olam. But the idea is that we're always facing east. East is called kedma, like kadima. Whenever you read Tanakh, kedma, you're facing the east. Yamin, your right, is the south. small, your left is the north. Small, by definition, means weak. The left side is the north side, and that's the side from which judgment, punishment comes to the world. Lashiv al kol yoshvei aretz kiratam, where God repays people for their evil. Binev maseh merkava, and when God describes the heavenly chariot, amal pnei shomei asmol al batam. On the left was the face of the ox. On the left is the eagle. The eagle represents the force that is in charge of desolation and destruction. The eagle represents that in a godly way. This is why I said this is Kabbalah. When you speak about the heavenly chariot, whatever that means, so there's a left and a right. In heaven there is no left and right, right? God is omnipresent. There is no left and right to God. But nonetheless, there is this representation of the left being the north, being the tzafon, being the tzafun, being the hidden, being the destruction, being the small, being the weak, being the ox, being the egel. ולכן חשב אהרון כי המחריב יורד דרך מקום החורבן, כי שם כוחו גדול. So Aaron says, okay, in godly representation, what is supposed to lead us in an area of desolation? We saw that God says he leaves that, so to speak, with the angel that's represented by the figure of an ox. וביותם עובדים שם לאל ירא רוח ממרום. And he says, we can, if our goal is to get Hashem's guidance here, then Hashem's guidance in this area of desolation in a Kabbalistic sense is represented by the ox. Kasher netzal al Moshe, just as Moshe was able to guide us in areas of desolation, well, areas of desolation are controlled by angels that are represented by the figurine of an ox. Now you understand that what we're saying now is borderline or complete idol worship, right? Meaning that although the heavenly chariot is described as an ox, but to make a figurine down below that represents a heavenly chariot, well, it says in the Ten Commandments, don't make a figurine of anything else, right? It says, not of the stars, not of the angels, not of anything you see above, not of anything you see below. V'zeu sh'amar chag l'shem achar. So Aaron says, tomorrow a celebration in honor of God. What do you mean in honor of God? Because we're not denying God. We're not adopting a new God. But we're looking for a way to take down whatever power or direction is necessary from Hashem to guide us through this desert. Aaron says, tomorrow we bring sacrifices in honor of Hashem, not in honor of anything else. Because we're asking Hashem, El Bala Tzuha, that Hashem's will should come through this figurine, because maybe through this we'll be guided. So, you understand, we're reading Kabbalah and we don't understand what that means. But on some Kabbalistic level, we see that the prophets describe that there is this power that's represented by the ox that's in charge of areas of desolation. Aaron, his point is, as a way of serving Hashem. ורבותינו למדו אותו העניין הזה, והם שגילו סודו, our sages really revealed the secret, אמרו, ראו ראיתי את עוני עמי. Our sages said that when God came to take the Jewish people out of Egypt, he says, see, I have seen the affliction of my nation. אמר לו, הקדוש ברוך הוא למשה. משה, אתה רואה ראייה אחת ואני רואה שתי ראיות. God says to Moshe, you see one thing, I see two things. אתה רואה אותן, what you're seeing now, Moshe, you see them. באים לסיני ומקבלים תורתי. You see the closer future. You see, they're coming to Sinai, they accept the Torah. ואני רואה איך מתבוננים בי שאני יוצא בכרוכין שלי שאתן להם את התורה. And I see how they're going to be looking at the angels that accompany me as I come to give the Torah. שנאמר איך באלוקים ריבותיים אלפי שינן ושומתין אחד מתתרמולין שלי שכתוב בפני שור מהשמאל ומכיסין אותי בו. And I see how they're going to take one of my angels and use it to anger me. And tetramolin, tetramolin, tetra is four in Greek, right? Tetra arba, peradot. Tetra bilshon yavan arba, kmo tetragon arba, molin pradot. Kmo mulaot shel beit rebi. Mashal le'arba chayot hanosu ot hamerkava. God says to Moshe, you see one thing. You see them standing at Sinai accepting the Torah. I see two things. I see them standing at Sinai, and I see them noting what my tetramulin, my four animals, so to speak, of my chariot, my angels look like, and then they're going to take one figurine from my angel and worship it. I see the eagle coming up. But how did Hashem speak about the eagle? Hashem says, I'm taking them out of Egypt, even though I know where it's headed. I know they're going to hit Baigel. And I know that there's going to be that great revelation at Sinai, and they're going to take something wrong from that revelation. They're going to take something which they'll make a figurine out of, which is wrong. But remember, the figurine wasn't an alternative to God. It was, in their minds, or at least in Aaron's mind, a way of accessing what does God want of us.
It was their grassroots proving,
So the Ramban says this Medrash is where I get this concept from. That when they did the Egel, it was a concept they saw in the heavenly revelation at Sinai. And the Medrash Rabbah says in the Yikra, Shamar Aaron mitoch shani boneh, ani boneh oto lishmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As I build, Aaron says, I build it for the name of Hashem. Shneimar vayikra Aaron vayomer chag Hashem machar. As the verse testifies that Aaron said, tomorrow is a celebration for Hashem. Chag le'egel macharin katuv kan ela l'Hashem. It doesn't say tomorrow we celebrate in honor of the calf. Aaron says tomorrow we celebrate in honor of Hashem. V'Rav Elezer amar ki b'mkom hazeh Elokim kavod chone b'tzurat gviya ve'im tasim libcha l'masa harishon tavin zeh ve'einenu nachon be'inai. So he says the Ibn Ezra has over here a whole explanation and you can figure it out, but I don't think he's right. Shelo nasa egel b'mlechet chokhmat ha-mazalot liyot b'tzurato chone kavod ha-davar. Rak she'asu ha-tzura lechaven be'avodata el inyana, ve'kvar perashti sod ha-masa ha-rishon, ve'chalila she'ratza Aaron lehidamot elav, rak mimenu yikach she'yeh masa mitzad ha-mida ahi ve'amaskil yavin.
So he's talking Kabbalah. He says the Ibn Ezra wants to explain this along a different Kabbalistic concept, and he wants to explain that he wanted to tap into a certain force and a certain mazel, through the mazel, through the forces that be, remember what's an idol worshiper called? Oved kochavim u'mazalot, right? So then again, you're bordering on idol worship with what Aaron's doing, but he says I don't agree with Ibn Ezra's explanation, and I've already explained, but you got to know Kabbalah in order to know what I explained. But you guys want us to learn it. So although we know the Ramban's introduction where he says, when I talk Kabbalah, if you don't have a tradition, you won't understand. If you think you understand, you still don't understand. So don't kid yourself. But you had a question, so at least we're looking at it from a distance, realizing that we don't understand. But for whatever it's worth, we're reading it. So now we continue. So what did the Ramban tell us so far? Aaron wasn't, they weren't interested in an alternative to God. Aaron wasn't setting up an alternative to God. There was this concept that there's a representation in heaven that takes control of areas of desolation, and that's represented by an angel that's called Shor, whatever that means. And in some way, Aaron wanted to tap into that and figured if we want guidance from Hashem, then the way to get guidance from Hashem instead of Moshe, which is all the eagle was supposed to be, is by having the figure of that force. The Ramban hasn't yet discussed whether what Aaron did is idol worship. Meaning, he says Aaron's intent was all for Hashem. Okay, idol worship also started out that way. That's point number one. In the Drashat Torat Hashem Tmima, he points out that it says, the Pasuk you pointed out, Zev, that he formed it into the form of an eagle. One Pasuk says the eagle came prancing out. One Pasuk says he formed it as an eagle masecha. So in Drashat Torat Hashem Tmimah, he elaborates on that. Some commentaries say it wasn't Aaron who formed it. He put together the gold. But that wasn't, he wasn't the one that gave it that shape. But the Ramban obviously does not seem to be learning that way, because he says Aaron meant for there to be an Egel, because on some spiritual Kabbalistic level, there is this representation of an angel that's called a Shor. So Aaron tells them, Parkun Yizmeh Zahav, Bachal Zahav Elo Kesef, Bavur Shehu Moreh, על מידת הדין ומראה וכמראה אש וכמו שאמרו עוד זהב פרוויים שדומה לדם פרים ולכן נעשה בית הקורבנות כולו זהב. Okay, another Kabbalistic concept about why it was supposed to be gold, which represents מידת הדין. ויומרו אלה אלוהיך ישראל אשר העלוך מארץ מצרים. So what are the people saying? This is the force that took you out of Egypt. גם זה הכתוב יורה אותך. This pasuk also has to point out to you, because no fool in the world could think that that gold, asher hayah ba'ozneihem, that a few minutes earlier they were wearing it as earrings in their ears, hu asher hotziyah mimitzrayim, that's what took them out of Egypt.
How could anyone say that? They couldn't have been stupid, that stupid to say that. אבל אמרו כי כוח הצורה הזאת אלא משם. But what they said is, the force that this represents, that's what took them out of Mitzrayim.
There seems to be an element of Avodah Zarah. If we really are talking about Avodah Zarah here, when they're referring to Ish as Esha Yaleinu Mi'et B'Tzayim, they really feel that Moshe himself took them out of Egypt.
It says Biyad Moshe. It says Biyad Moshe. Hashem says everything was Biyad Moshe, through Moshe. So they're saying that Hashem works through forces, which was always the way we evolved idol worship. Always. We said that that's what the Rambam says, that the Miri says. We see it time and again that idol worship came to the world because people said God works through forces, let's worship those forces.
They don't say Biyad. They literally said that Moshe is one led them out of Egypt.
So that...
him with something that has an element of Avodah Zarah, and that really their whole relationship to Moshe is one of tainted by Avodah Zarah.
You want me to expand on that or continue in the Ramban? If you want to see an expansion of the thought you're saying, first of all, the Ramban in Torat Hashem Tmima discusses why they say Asher Elanu and not Asher Hotziyanu. That's point number one. And over here too, he's about to discuss that a little bit. And point number two, the Meshech Chochma, I think on Vaischanan, when he discusses why Moshe really couldn't enter the land of Israel, he discusses this concept. He says that it was very important that Moshe die in the desert so that it becomes a religion of the Torah and not a religion of Moshe. It had to be that Moshe wouldn't enter the land of Israel. The Meshech Chochma discusses that point that you're discussing. Good question. That's another discussion. You don't find that they said this Egel took us out of Mitzrayim. They say this Egel brought us up. Why doesn't it say took us out? When it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim, they all agreed that was Hashem. Zev, could I trouble you to turn off the heat? Otherwise, no one's going to last here more than another 10 minutes. Thank you. Toda rabba. Kishmo gadol hu amotzi otam misham. Everyone agreed it was God's great name that took him out of Mitzrayim. Avli yomru b'mkumot rabim asher he'eluha. But what they spoke about is he who brought you up. Ki ikhu ze b'mkom yad hagdola machrevet yam. Hasama mam ki yam derech lavor geolim. וזהו שנאמר והמירו את כבודם בתבנית שור אוכל עשה ושם נאמר שחו אל משה עם סגלות מצרים נפלאות בארצכם נורות על ים סוף שכחו דברו אשר ציווהם והנה עברו הלא תעשה לך אלוהים אחרים על פניי כאשר עמזתי שם ותבין זה. He says they did transgress the prohibition לא תעשה לך אלוהים אחרים על פניי. Hashem says don't make yourself any forces together with me. They were in transgression of that because they said this is the force through which Hashem brought us out in the desert. In the desert, which is under this force of the shore, that's already idol worship, right? You want to say their whole view of Moshe was also bordering on that? That's a long discussion.
If this man disappears and all of a sudden they're totally lost, they feel that dependent on him, then clearly they don't have a clear enough vision of what was guiding Moshe.
It's complicated. We have to be very careful what we say. It's complicated because they stress Kizem Moshe Ha'ish Asher Elanu Me'etz Mitzrayim. Why do they stress Moshe Ha'ish? Meaning they recognized he was human, he was mortal. And maybe that's why they also were so concerned. You know, it's 40 days and 40 nights, he's not yet back. Chazal tell us he said he'd be back in 40 days and they miscounted. Some Rishonim say that according to the Pshat, he never told them when he'd be back. So day one, day two, they lasted 40 days. The man is on top of the mountain. There's no food there. They saw what Sinai looked like up there. The fact that they were worried is legitimate. God didn't give them any word other than through Moshe. It's not like Hashem sent any word through Aaron, everything's okay. According to Chazal, they see Moshe, a vision of Moshe, being carried dead. The Satan makes the clouds start looking like angels carrying Moshe's body to be buried. So
There was room to be worried. 2 million people out in the desert, they don't have enough food until Moshe, Hashem sends Moshe to bring down the man. Right. So yeah, Hashem sends down the man. And Moshe tells them Hashem is giving them the man. But Hashem hasn't given them anyone in exchange. So they have no leader, they're out in the desert, 2 million people, and they don't have food. They don't have water. So Moshe got them water. So Moshe tells them Hashem's giving you water. Moshe keeps stressing, Hashem's giving you the food, Hashem's giving you the water. He keeps saying it's not himself, it's Hashem. See that Hashem gave you this, see that Hashem gave you that. Time and again he says, it's not me, it's Hashem. And the Ten Commandments are purposely given when Moshe's standing down below, and Hashem says to everyone, including Moshe, I'm Hashem, your God.
What they see is Hashem is kind of like, you know, that experiment where you can impress on a baby bird, a chick, and you use a glove. Put your hand in the glove and beat it through the glass with this glove. Eventually the chick grows up, you know, the glove is its mother. So it's called impressing. So it seems like the same thing is happening here in a sense, even though Moshe reminds them as a person that Hashem is doing.
So this is us projecting, saying, but the psukim, we don't really have an indication of that. What we see, according to the Ramban, is that they're concerned. Meaning the theory, okay, it's a nice theory what you're saying, but I'm not sure we have any indication of that from the psukim or from Chazal. Vayara Aaron. Tam ze hakatuv shera otam bera mechuvanim el ha'egel. Aaron sees the nation bera. The Ramban is already telling us that this vayar Aaron is what Aaron will tell Moshe later. When Moshe comes down, Aaron tells them, ata yedat etam ki berahu. You know the nation ends up doing things wrong. Where's that happen? That happens here. Vayar Aaron, what Aaron sees is that when they're looking at the Egel, they're not looking at it the way he meant for it to be. V'kamu b'na mizbech v'kara chag l'shem mizbech machal. So Aaron wants to divert their attention from the Egel. Don't go worshipping that. That wasn't the point. That wasn't what we were discussing a minute ago. He sets up the Egel and he starts seeing Vayar Aaron, says the Ramban. What Aaron saw is that, hey, they're not going in the right direction. And that's what Aaron tells Moshe later. Ki verahu, you know the nation. I didn't set this up as an idol, but I suddenly saw that that's where they're at it. So what does Aaron do? He immediately diverts their attention. He builds an altar, and he says, tomorrow we celebrate in honor of Hashem. He's coming to remind them, we're not worshipping this egel. She is b'chul Hashem amyuchad. He specifically says the tetragrammaton on amizbeach shebanahu lishmo. V'lo yivnu amizbechot leboshet panim. He wants to ensure they don't start erecting altars in honor of this shame, in honor of this golden calf. Aaron himself builds the altar. He wants to ensure that no one intends to sacrifice anything to this golden calf. And maybe he said tomorrow because he wanted to give time. Hopefully, maybe Moshe will come and then they'll all leave the eagle. But they outdid him. They woke up early. They brought sacrifices. The pasuk doesn't say they sacrificed to it, to the egel. And that's because some of the people were sacrificing in honor of Hashem, as Aaron had said. But there were some who were starting to destroy, and they started sacrificing to the golden calf. And about them Hashem says, they bowed it, they sacrificed it. They were the sinners. And if the plan would have worked out the way Aaron intended, that only he would bring the sacrifices, even if Aaron would bring the sacrifices, it still wouldn't work because if he's intending for Hashem, they're thinking we're doing it for the Egel. And then the sacrifice isn't good because the halacha says the owner and the kohen have to have the same intent. That's what's called pigul. You have improper intent in at the time of bringing the sacrifice. So what does it mean the nation sat to eat and drink? That everyone decided, now we're going to eat a good meal, we'll be satiated, and we're going to get good and drunk. So that was the next problem. Like people do in holidays. And then the next step is, when everyone's drunk, to start partying with the idols. The pasuk is telling us, what was the noise that Moshe and Yoshua heard? Moshe found them joking in front of the idol. And Moshe's heart goes high in the ways of Hashem, to teach them a lesson, to take that calf and burn it before them, and let them all drink from it. And then the pasuk tells us everything they did with the egel, and then it tells us how God said to Moshe, go down. In the morning early, when they were only sacrificing and bowing to the egel, Hashem tells Moshe, go down. And by the time Moshe got down, they were already partying and joking with the egel. This too is a proof to what I explained. Why didn't God tell Moshe yesterday? When Aaron built the egel, God doesn't tell Moshe, go down. Only the next morning when there's a sacrifice and they're partying. Why? Because the initial erection of the egel was not meant for idol worship. Shouldn't God tell Moshe to go down right away? But then when they started sacrificing, that's when Hashem told Moshe to go down. And again, I have this point where I'm not clear what the Ramban means. Meaning, to my... Right. That the Ramban also in the Torah Hashem Tmima seems to ride the line, to ride the boundary. To say that when Aaron did it and what Aaron did was on the boundary. So I'm not clear. Okay, what does that mean? Was that figurine of Avodah Zarah or not of Avodah Zarah? And it seems like the Ramban is saying that on some level it was not. And I don't understand that. I don't know how to explain that in the Ramban. But the Ramban seems to say that the initial intent was on a correct level. Now you look at the Rambam, and the Rambam tells you all idol worship started that way. And you read the Ramban, and I don't have an easy way of understanding why wasn't this on that side of the boundary. I don't know, but that seems to be the line the Ramban is drawing. He seems to be saying that you see that Hashem did not react when he did it. You see, it was not yet idol worship, and that wasn't the intent. And the Ramban seems to say there is a way of tapping into forces which, what are we going to say? Is there a way that's acceptable? I don't know. I don't see how you could say that, but I don't know what the Ramban is saying. So that's why when we read Kabbalah, it's very, very dangerous. Because when you don't have a tradition and you don't understand Kabbalah, then you're playing with fire. Meaning, you're one step off and you're talking about idol worship. The second you take a Kabbalistic concept and try to apply it and you don't have a tradition, so you're playing with fire. And here, this is one of those places where we're playing with fire. I don't know what to say. So I'd rather not say anything. I don't know. I'm reading, I'm translating, and I'm saying I don't know. Yes, Nave. How? I don't know. Maybe he took stones and grinded it with stones. I don't know of a medrash that discusses exactly how he did it. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Now that you're mentioning it, I think there is a place where Chazal discussed how he ground it, but I don't remember. I don't remember.
There are cases when something is done that's not commanded by Hashem, symbolic value, like the Nachash Nachoshet, right? Was it commanded by Hashem? Or was
yes.
I seem to remember there are some things that where Moshe would just tell Aaron to do something, or I just seem to remember cases where things aren't commanded by Hashem, but there's still a top-down command direction. Outside, it's Zar to what's commanded by Hashem.
Right, 100%. The difference between this and the Kruvim, on the simple level, on the simple reading of the Parsha, Hashem said make Kruvim, Hashem didn't say make an Egel. Now, did they worship this? They didn't worship the Kruvim. Were they worshiping the Egel? The Ramban says initially not, and then it devolved to that. God says to Moshe, Ki shichet amcha. Amar Hashem le Moshe, Ki asu shtayim ra'ot. They did two things wrong. Hachat, Ki shichet amcha v'inyan hashchata, harisat v'inyan. Shichet amcha is they destroyed something that was built. Ki inyan shneimar, ve'ish kli meshchato v'yado. Hinine lecha har mashchit. Bavel. ההורס כל חומר מגדל, ופירוש ההשחטה בכאן הדבר שקראו רבותינו מקצץ בנטיות. So this is a Kabbalistic concept, that they were doing something destructive Kabbalistically. והשני, כי עשו עגל מסכה וישתחוו לו ויזבחו לו. והנה עבירה הראשונה, לא ידענו רק השם לבדו, שהוא יודע תלומות לב. So the Ramban says, the first sin was a sin of the heart. Meaning, the same thing could have been done correctly or incorrectly, they did something wrong, in their understanding of Hashem. The first sin was in the heart. There was something here that was wrong in their perception of Hashem. Meaning, Kotzetz Bintiyot is when a person sees Kabbalistic concepts and he decides he's going to take it in a premature understanding. What is Nitiyot? Nitiyot are plantings. Kotzetz means he cuts them down before they're ripe. What does it mean to cut something down before it's ripe? You're taking it prematurely. So sometimes there's a premature understanding of Kabbalistic concepts, and the attempted application or the thought that we understand something that we don't really understand can be idol worship. And that's what Chazal say. You start entering Kabbalah and you don't really know what you're talking about. A person could end up being kotzetz nitiyot, cutting down trees that are not yet fully ripe, meaning you're taking a concept that you don't fully understand, try to apply it, and really what you're doing is destroying the real concepts of Torah. Guys, you with me? So that's one thing that was wrong here. The second problem is, Kasuegen Masecha Vishtachvulo Vayizbechulo. They made this golden calf, and they bowed it, and they offered it sacrifices. The Ramban says the majority of the nation sinned with the golden calf. And yet, because he says, it says the whole nation gave their gold for the calf, and that's why Hashem was upset at all of them. And there were only a few who were actually punished and died, because most of them, their sin was in thought and not in deed. Okay, there's much more to discuss. But you want us to skip forward to Moshe's conversation with Aaron, right? The Ramban points out that in Moshe's prayer, he also had to pray to save Aaron, that Hashem was upset at Aaron and Moshe davened for him, but Moshe didn't say it so long as Aaron was alive, not to shame him. And we move forward to the Ramban. Me'asa lecha ha'am hazeh. You have it, Pasuk Chaf Alef? Me'asa lecha ha'am hazeh ki yiveta alav chata gdola. Kama yisurim sabalta sheyisuch ad shelo tavi aleim chet zeh. לשון רש"י ואיננו נכון בעיניי. כי חטא הזה מן החטאים שיהרג עליהם ולא יעבור. According to Rashi,
Moshe says to Aaron, how much did they torture you to bring you to this point of causing them this sin? And I don't think that's right, says the Ramban, because a sin like this is Yarek Val Yavar. He should have gotten killed rather than doing this. But maybe the way he worded it was to stress Aaron's blame. But what I think is pshat is, ki ukmo mash asiti me'avoni u'mechatati lifnei abicha ki mbakeshet nafshi. Meaning what Moshe was saying is, what did this nation ever do to you that you hate them so much that you were the cause of their possible annihilation? And Aaron's job is to rebuke them and bring them atonement. So he says to Aaron, what did they ever do to you that you did this to them? You treated them like an enemy who wants their harm. They never did you any harm. Moshe should have first blamed Aaron for what Aaron did wrong, and then blame him for what's happening with the nation. He should have first went over to his brother and said, how could you do such a thing? Forget the nation for a second. You, Aaron, how could you do that? And then he should have said, and also you caused the masses to sin. And you brought great sin upon them. But Moshe, out of his modesty and honor for his big brother, he doesn't say to Aaron, how could you do this? That's not his job to rebuke him on his personal level. But as a leader, he asks him, and it could be Moshe was also confident that his brother, he realized that Aaron didn't mean to create an idol. But he rebukes him about the nation. He says, why didn't you rebuke them if this is the direction you saw it going? You caused the stumbling block. You should have stood up and said, no, we don't worship this thing. What does Aaron answer? He says, they misled me. I didn't understand where things were headed. What is Aaron saying? Yomar, ki him bederech ra'a. Ki amru li lasot lehem more derech minkom adoni ad shuvo ula yashuv. Because Aaron says, you know, they went the wrong way, the bad way, because initially what they told me was, they just want a guide instead of you. V'natnu li azahav v'ashlichehu ba'esh, and they gave me the gold, I threw it in the fire, v'hinei yatza lehem egel hazeh. Came, and then this egel came out. What he means to say is, as opposed to the egel I meant to make. I meant to make an egel that would not be the God. That what came out, because kiverahu, because their intent was bad, then what evolved is egel hazeh, the egel that they're treating it the way you see it. Not that I didn't make the egel. I made the egel, but I didn't make it for this. Because berahu, it turned out to be egel hazeh. They told me initially all we want is a guide, but what they were really thinking is we want another God. And when I made it, they fooled me. That's kiverahu. You know where their soul really was holding at that point, and that's where they misled me, and they started worshipping it. Aaron didn't want to go into great detail about what they did wrong, so he just put it in short. It turned out like this. You know that they're not exactly as pure as we'd like them to be, and that's why it ended up this way. Meaning, you're right. I didn't make a god for them. I made a guide instead of you. But because their hearts aren't where they should be, so it quickly devolved to this idol worship that you see. That's where it's at. Does that answer your question? Where do you see that he was standing in defense of the people? All the Ramban said was that he didn't want to elaborate on what they did wrong. He doesn't say he's standing to defend them. He's answering Moshe's question. Moshe says, what did they ever do to you that you did this to them? And Aaron says, I didn't do this to them.
their evil inclination is what led them to take something which was initially defined as a guide, and they quickly changed courses and decided this was an idol.
Well, there's issues of Lashon Hara here, and there's issues of expectation that Aaron would expect Aaron to not to try to cover himself by exposing the nation, but otherwise, given his...
I don't know, you're dealing with Moshe and the leader who has a responsibility to fix the problem now. Meaning, you can't take the leader and say, I'm not going to tell you what's going on, now you fix it. Moshe did fix the problem, but he has to have the facts.
Or at least phrase it like Moshe, his humility, said, what do these people do to you that you brought them to sin? Could likewise really alter the wording in a way...
He did. He didn't say ki rahu, he said ki vi-rahu. Which needs a lot of work. What does it mean? V'ra. He didn't say, you know, the nation, they're bad. He said, they're in bad, or there's bad in them, or the. He doesn't say. He says they're quick to turn the wrong way. That's the way of the nation. There's another interpretation here, but you wanted us to stick there on Ramban, so I keep withholding from saying anything else. But in the Ramban, I think that the Ramban is very consistent in the story. Aaron built it with one intent, and they misunderstood, or they weren't on the level, and they took it the wrong way, and they turned it into an idol. And that, when Aaron says "Vayetzei ha'igel hazeh," he's just saying, in a nutshell, it turned out like this. But that's not what I was doing initially. And the Ramban has a good proof. The Ramban says, why didn't God react the first day Aaron did it? Why did it wait till it reached this point? And then Hashem sends Moshe down. If it was already a problem the day before. There's just a point to think about. Chazal say, Ha'am is the Erev Rab. So then it's not, he's not talking about Am Yisrael really. Ha'am is the one that served the idol, and that's why the 3,000 fell from the Ha'am. And that's what he says, Ataydatet Ha'am kiverahu. You know those guys, you know where they're holding, because it's them. We weren't talking about Am Yisrael. Ha'am, the Medrash says, is the Erev Rav.
And Barat having Simotion is Erev.
Oh, very nice, I didn't know that. Okay, so we explored the Ramban a little bit. Okay.